Now, before we read the precious Word of God, we're going to still our hearts again. We're going to bow in His presence and we're going to ask God to bless His Word. We need the Holy Spirit this morning. We need His presence in the midst. We need to feel the reality of God. And so we're going to bow before Him and listen to His voice. Father God in heaven, we approach Your throne again in reverence and in godly fear because we know that Thou art holy. Father, Your Lord reminds us that before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. And O Father, we tremble as we come before One that is Almighty, One that is God of all the universe. But Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee that Your Word reminds us that we can come boldly onto the throne of grace that we might obtain strength and mercy and help in a time of need. And Father, we thank You that we can come through the rent veil and the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we ask Your blessing upon Your Word this morning. Father, we ask that You would shut out all distractions of the week past. Lord, that we might focus in upon the sacred book. Father, You have a word for each and every one of our hearts this morning. And we ask that the Holy Spirit would, as the song has said, wing it deep into our hearts. And so, Lord, we commend this time to Thee. We ask that You would take authority over every principality and every power, every ruler, every darkness, Lord, every wicked spirit in high places, that Jesus Christ might be exalted, that His kingdom might be extended, and that God would be glorified. Father, we ask it all and through His name. Amen. So we're reading from the book of Ezekiel this morning, in Ezekiel chapter 3. And what I want to speak to you this morning on, the message that the Lord has laid on my heart, is the Word of God. We're going to be looking at the Word of God, and there's a wonderful application in Ezekiel chapter 3 this morning for us. So we're starting to read at verse 1. Of Ezekiel chapter 3. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of Man. Now, Son of Man is 93 times throughout the whole book of Ezekiel. And it was actually a messianic title. And it was a name given to our Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks of His humanity. So we see the humanity of Ezekiel. Son of Man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go. Speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. See the obedience of Ezekiel. He opened his mouth. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then I did eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Now we know that on this roll, we see in chapter 2 and verse 10, it had lamentation, it had woe, it had mourning. But friends, it was sweet for Ezekiel to do the will of God. So it was in his mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. It wasn't anybody else's words, it was the words of the Lord. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of an hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of an hard language whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. It was one thing that the children of Israel wouldn't listen to the minister that God had sent, but they wouldn't even listen to the Lord. They will not listen unto me. For all the house of Israel, verse 7, are imprudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant or as a diamond, harder than flint, have I made thy forehead. And here's the promise. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though or for they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, All my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears. Listen to me this morning. I want you to grasp it as we go on. You see, the word of God went into Ezekiel's mouth. It went into his mouth, and that's appropriation. And then the word of the Lord went into Ezekiel's belly, and that's digestion. But the word of God had to get down into Ezekiel's heart. That's meditation. Meditation. And this is the word of God taking control of this man, Ezekiel. In verse 11 it says, "And go, get thee to them of the captivity unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them and tell them, thus saith the Lord God." That's action. Whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. "Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the waves over against them, and the noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness, in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me." Three more verses. "Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Abib, that dwelt by the river of Kibar, and I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, I have made thee a watchman." That's consecration. "Unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth." And here's the important part. "Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me." And give them warning from me. Amen. And God will bless the public reading of his word. Can I ask you this morning, each and every soul gathered in the meeting, how much do you love the word of God? How much do you hold in reverence above everything else that you possess, the word of the living God? And you see, it's not just an intellectual understanding, although as we'll see it as we go on. But it's about getting the word of God deep down into the very recesses of your heart and obeying it. You see, it's one thing to know the word of God. It's another thing altogether to obey it. How much do you love the word of God? If you were stranded, let's say an illustration, if you were stranded out on an island, you were to be taken out to an island far away, miles from any civilization, what would be the first thing that you would grab? You remember Daniel? The Babylonians came in and grabbed those men out of Israel. And you remember how Daniel was carried into captivity. You know, Daniel took his God. It says Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. With the king's meat. What would be the one thing that you would take? Would it be your clothes? Would it be your iPad, your iPhone? Would it be money? What would it be? I can safely say, with my hand in my heart, the first thing I would take would be the word of God. You know why? Because Jesus says in Matthew 4, verse 4, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. See the reverence that is held in this book. You remember Job in chapter 23? He says, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." This is the word of God. This is the word of God. You remember the Apostle Paul when he was speaking to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16, and he quoted those lovely words and he said, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable." You see, it's not just some scripture. It's not just the parts of scripture that we enjoy reading through the most, but it's all scripture, from cover to cover, from Genesis right to Revelation, every jot, every tittle, all inspired of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine. You see, we love the doctrine. We love the truth, and it's needful. Man, I wish we had more churches that held the good old-fashioned doctrines in the word of God. But it's the next few parts that some of the churches don't like. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be made perfect. That's a word we're scared of today too, perfection. And I'm not preaching a perfection, a sinless perfection, but as one man said, we can be blameless before God. Blameless before God. That the man of God may be made perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And this is what the Word of God does. And can I ask you, does it grieve you if you neglect this book? Think of it. I want you to cast your mind right over the week that has passed. Every day, busy with work, busy with things that are needful, busy that we need to do these things. These are necessities. But how much has your mind been occupied by the Word of God? How much has your mind been occupied by the Word of God? And if you find that you've went through a day and you have neglected this old book, does it grieve you? Does it grieve you? That you have neglected the Word of God? This thing that is able to give us, this holy book that is able to fill us, feed us, spiritually help us to grow? Friends, it grieves me if I neglect the book. It grieves me if I neglect the book. You remember Elijah? Elijah stood before Ahab. He said, there'll be no dew nor rain in this land, but according to my word. And after the word of the Lord came to Elijah and told him to hide at the brook Cherith. And how the ravens came morning and evening and fed him with bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. That's why it's good to get out twice on a Sunday. Once to the morning meeting and twice to hear the gospel. They get the bread and flesh in the morning and they get the bread and flesh in the evening. When the other prophets, Obadiah was looking after in the cave 100 prophets, they were getting bread and water. But Elijah was getting bread and flesh. And I always laugh when I read it to myself. The Spirit speaks, and I think, you know, sometimes the ravens get better fed than some of God's people because we never get into the book. We never get into the book. Does it grieve you? You see, it says, a man once said that the book will keep you from sin. The book will keep you from sin, every form of sin. But sin will keep you from the book. What sins have kept you from the book this week? What sins have kept you from the book this week? You don't need to confess them to me. Pride. Has pride kept you from the book? Bad language. Filthy jokes. Procrastination. It's all sin in the sight of God. Oh, I'll get to the book. Just need to do this first. Oh, I'm going to read that there, Lord. Just give me 10 minutes and it never comes. Procrastination. Pornography. Adultery. Idolatry. Theft. Covetousness. Drunkenness. I don't know, friends, but God knows. And God sees. God sees everything. Corinthians tells us, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit which is within him. You know, if you've neglected God's word this week, you know the sins you have committed. And God knows them and he sees everything. It's not just about coming to God's house on a Sunday morning that everybody else can see you. But it's about what you do during the week when nobody else sees you and you're alone with God. A man once said to me, Johnny, what you are in the dark is what you are in the light before men. God sees everything right into the very depths of our soul. And if that doesn't shake us and wake us up, nothing will. Nothing will. You see, Psalm 119 says, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. You know, friends, we need to get rid of carnality in the church. Away with this carnality in the church. The church is full of it today. Carnal Christians. I have no thought for God. No thought for the unsaved. No thought for anything. But just thought for self. Carnality. And I want to read a passage to you in Corinthians. And the Lord brought it to my head, my mind last night. It's been in my heart all week. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You don't need to turn to it. And this is Paul speaking about carnal Christians. And he says, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, babes in Christ. He's talking about the word. The whole problem that happened in the church at Corinth is because they were not feeding on the word. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you could not endure it. You could not keep it. You could not hold it. And then we words there, we think of a carnal Christian. What do you think of a carnal Christian? What comes into your mind when you think of a carnal Christian? You see, Paul tells us that carnality is this: envying, strife, and divisions. Man, that covers us all. That covers us all. Chapter 3 and verse 3. Envying, strife, and seditions. And we need to put it away. And we need to get back to the old book. Back to the old book. You see, friends, Titus says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Ghost, renewing by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth, because thy word is truth. You know, that's amazing, friends. The word of God, it cleanses our hearts. The word of God, it purges our souls, it cleanses us, it renews us, it makes us new, washes out all the filth, makes us transparent before God. You know, friends, the Lord taught me a lesson. The Lord taught me a lesson the other week, and it was through my wife's perfume. And would you hear this? And the morning we woke up, I got up, went into the study, got before the Lord, had my time of prayer and read the word and came out. And me and Laura, we sat down and we had the breakfast and we chatted and we talked and all the rest of it. And then we got up and left, and I gave her a cuddle and a kiss and went out to work. And as I was working that day, I could smell this fragrance of her perfume. So romantic, isn't it? I could smell this fragrance of her perfume on my clothes. And as soon as I said that, the voice of the Lord came into my heart. And you know what he said? He said this. He said, Johnny, that's what it's like when you get into my word. When you get into my word and you seek my face, there's a sense of my presence that comes off and out of what you've read. And it permeates your clothes and it permeates your character. And it permeates your whole attitude and everything that you would do. Not just that you would do it for men, but that you do it for God. And the longer that you spend in my word, and the longer that you feast on this book, the greater fragrance it will come out of your life, and people will see it, and people will know it, and you will sense it, and God will be with you. God will be with you. It reminds me of the priests in the Old Testament. You remember how they went into the tabernacle, and they burnt the incense on the altar before God, and there was a fragrance came off it, and it permeated their clothes. And as that priest would walk through the tents, walk through the people and the children of Israel, they smelt a sweet fragrance. And they said, that man has been with God. When people see you in work, when people see you in school, in college, whatever you do, walking down the street, can people say, because that man's in the Word, I see God in him. I see God in him. I see Christ beaming from his face, beaming from her face. In everything that you do, it's coming and getting in to the Word of God. And friends, nothing will be accomplished without the Word of God. And in these days, we desperately need to get back to the Word of God, and we need to obey it. As James says, not just to be hearers of the Word, but to be doers of the Word. That's how we apply it to our heart. We need revived. We need revived. I believe we need revived. Remember the revival in Nehemiah's day? Nehemiah 8 verse 8, so they read in the book and the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. The revival came by the word of God. You remember Josiah, that young king? The revival came by the word of God. They found the book of the law in God's house that had been desecrated. And they read the book of the law before Josiah. And Josiah wept. And he rent his clothes. And he said, God, we've transgressed your laws. We're not keeping the feasts. We're not doing what you've asked us to do. And as soon as they got back to the book, revival broke out. Every revival came by the word of God. And here's the marker of the revival. It brought reverence. It brought reverence to the house of God. It brought repentance, true repentance to the house of God. It brought brokenness, true brokenness to the house. Not just the superficial brokenness. Not just going in and saying, Lord, you've touched me, and then going out and forgetting it. We need revived. And it'll only come when the book is preached by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. We must be moved by the Word of God. And here's where I want to come into our passage just now. I've given you a long introduction, but the Lord knows our hearts. And here is what I want us to see. What has this passage got to do with the Word of God for us? Well, you see, here's a man, Ezekiel. And Ezekiel ate the Word of the Lord. And the Word of the Lord was to Ezekiel what the Word of God should be to us. As we said, it was full of judgments. There was lamentation, there was mourning, and there was woe. But it was sweet. It was sweet for Ezekiel to do the will of God. It was sweet for him to do the will of God. You see, Ezekiel was a priest. Ezekiel was called of God to be a priest. And then he was called of God to be a prophet. And you see, there was a few things about the priest and the prophet. You see, the priest, he was liked. Everybody loved the priest. The priest brought good tidings. The priest told the children of Israel that God was still with them. He didn't bring judgment. He didn't bring woe. But the prophet, he was hated. The prophet brought judgment. The prophet told the people, no, everything's not all right. We're going to be in captivity for 70 years. That's the whole context of the chapter. The children of Israel had been taken into captivity, into Babylon. And they were going to be there for 70 years. And despite what men said, false prophets came along and said, someone will come. Ezekiel said, no. The time of the Lord will be fulfilled. God is bringing judgment upon his people. You see, the most difficult task of a prophet is to change the minds of the people. That's what it is. To change the minds of the people. And this man, Ezekiel, the priest, called to be a prophet, was going out, and as our passage tells us, he needed to be strengthened. That's what Ezekiel means. God strengthens. He needed to have a head as hard as a diamond, because they weren't even going to listen to him. You see, this chapter, in chapter 3, is one of the visions that Ezekiel receives that prepares him for the ministry. If Ezekiel hadn't had these wonderful visions in chapter 1 and 2 and 3, he mightn't have went out. But God was gracious to him, and he received him. And you see, Ezekiel was made a prophet at the prayer meeting. Now, I want you to hear this, hear it out, and bury it deep in your heart. Ezekiel was made a prophet at the prayer meeting. A prophet at the prayer meeting. Because it was wont for the children of Israel, these Jewish exiles, to carry and have a prayer meeting down at the river Kibar. Here it was, they got beside the river Kibar, they waited before the Lord, and they sought his face, and they prayed. And it was there that God came down to Ezekiel and said, I'm going to make thee a watchman. And the application for us today is this. If you want to be involved in church work, if you want to be involved in church life, if you want God to do things and mighty things through you in his name, for his glory, you have to be at the prayer meeting. You have to be at the prayer meeting. Fact. Full stop. End of the sentence. You must be at the prayer meeting. Because God will only do everything through prayer. Men and women filled with the Spirit, in touch with him, wanting to seek his face. And if you don't, there's something wrong. He was made a prophet at the prayer meeting. It's sad today, friends, when I think and I meditate upon the Lord and I weep before God at the state of our land. And I see all the big churches that are going up about our country, and every prayer meeting, every room that is made is smaller than the church. Why is that? God's people don't want to pray. God's people don't want to pray. Gone were the days when the prayer meetings were packed to the full. And God was moving, and the Spirit was saving souls. And it wasn't being attributed to a man, but it was being attributed to God. And it will only be through prayer. And this man, Ezekiel, he went to the prayer meeting. And it was there he got a touch of God. He got a touch of the divine. A touch of the divine. And oh, it set him on fire for God. And even though people wouldn't listen to him, and even though he went and he was slain and he was killed, man, he done it for the glory of God. He done it for the glory of God. You see, Ezekiel goes on, and we see one of the visions that he speaks about here at the end of the chapter, in verse 12. How the Spirit took him up, and he heard behind him a great voice of a rushing, and he seen those living creatures. What a vision. What a vision. He heard the living creatures. And he tells us further on in chapter 10 and verse 15 that it was the cherubims. The cherubims, that's what he's saying. And they had a human body. They had straight feet like a calf. They had four faces, four wings. Picture it. You wouldn't like to have a dream about it at night. It would scare the life out of you. Four wings with human hands under the wings. Faces was a man's face, a lion's face, an ox's face, and an eagle's face. And there was wheels in the image. And there was a firmament and there was a throne. And this whole symbol, this whole picture that Ezekiel sees, this vision, is a wonderful picture of God. It's a wonderful picture of God. And I don't want to digress on it, but I just want to point it out. You see, the wheels symbolize the omnipresence of God. God is at every place at one time. He's just as much here as he is down there. He's just as much in heaven as what he is in this meeting. God is omnipresent. God is omnipresent. So the wheel is his omnipresence. The eyes on the rim speak of his omniscience. And we see this here. The vision that Ezekiel sees was back in chapter 1. But he's reminiscing. And we're just giving context of what he sees. He sees his omniscience. He sees all things. He knows all things. He knows all things. And then the throne speaks of God's omnipotence. God's omnipotence. Friends, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing, the vision that he receives. What a revelation. What a revelation of God that he receives before his call. And it's a pity that every man and woman that are called to do work for God, men that are going into the ministry, it's a pity we didn't get a vision of God like this. We would rock the world through the power of the Spirit. Now, there's a few things that Ezekiel did with this role, the Word of God. And this is where we come down to it. The Word of God, this role that he did, that he ate. We see there in verse 2 of our chapter that Ezekiel had to eat it. Now here's the application. Here's the application of the word. Ezekiel in verse 2, he had to eat the roll intellectually. So here's number 1. He had to eat the roll intellectually. The word of God had to come into his mouth. He had to appropriate on it. He had to think on it. He had to get it into his mind. And as you listen to me this morning, and as you listen to men who preach the message of God and try to feed the flock, you're hearing it, it's going into your head, and you're intellectually understanding it. It's going into your head. Ezekiel had to eat this role. That's the amazing thing about memorizing Scripture. Getting the very Word of God into our mind. Getting it into our mind that we might think upon it and understand it. That God might help us to profit by it, reading the Word. You know, it's good to be fed in the Sunday morning. But what about during the week? Can it be said that you're like the Bereans? They were more noble than those at Thessalonica. Why? Because they searched the Scriptures daily. Not once a week, twice a week. They searched the Scriptures daily. To see if those things were so. I often say to myself, I can imagine the Apostle Paul standing up. And let's just say for talk's sake, he's preaching out of the Scriptures, the Old Testament. And he's got the book open there at Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. And he goes right down through the chapter and he preaches unto them Christ. And then the Bereans, they go home and they search the Scriptures. To see if them things were so. Oh, we need to search the Scriptures to see if them things are so. And Jeremiah says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. He ate them. Psalm says, taste and see that the Lord is good. This is getting the Word of God intellectually into our mind. Ezekiel, he had to eat it. But not only did Ezekiel have to eat it, he had to digest it. Experientially, in verse 10. In verse 10. He had to digest it. It had to go in to his belly. So now you see the order of things. It went into his mind and he had to intellectually get it into his mind. It's not like osmosis. You can't put it under the Bible under your pillow and hopefully that it goes into your mind from a lower concentration to a higher concentration. Maybe in some cases it could go from a higher concentration to a lower concentration. If you're into your science, I hope that's right. But it's not like osmosis. We have to get it into our minds. And then we have to let it go down into our belly as we digest upon it experientially. So not only intellectually, but experientially. experientially. He had to get it into his heart. You know, it's one thing to read through the Bible and to see all the beautiful promises that God has given. But it's another thing to lay hold of them experientially. Oh, I believe, Lord, that you can save. I believe, Lord, that you can set the sinner free. Your word has said that not any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But I can't experience it. Can't experience it. Your word says that whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive it. I believe your word, Lord, but I can't put it into practice. Ezekiel had to experience it. It had to hit him experientially. Getting it into our head, meditating upon it in our heart. But finally, we see that Ezekiel had to proclaim it. And here's the scary part. He had to proclaim it practically. And bear with me, please, for 2 minutes till we see what Ezekiel's trying to say. He had to eat it intellectually. He had to digest it experientially. And he had to proclaim it practically. He was called to be a watchman. Called to be a watchman, friends. Called to thunder forth the word of God. No matter what would happen. Because Ezekiel knew that if blood was on his hands, he would be condemned before God. And friends, oh, to have blood on our hands. I can guarantee and believe it with all my heart that there's souls in the meeting this morning and you have loved ones that are not saved. Loved ones that are not saved. And does it burden your soul that they're lost and they're going to hell? Going to hell. Going to hell. They're lost. Lost. Almost persuaded. Soon will be past. Almost persuaded. Harvest is past. Almost persuaded. Doom comes at last. Almost persuaded. But lost. 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 Does it burden your heart that they're lost? You see, Ezekiel got a touch from God. Intellectually, experientially. And he went out and he proclaimed it practically. Because he knew people were lost. And they were going to a lost eternity. And friends, if we don't let the word of God get into our hearts and into our minds and into our souls and permeate our whole being, men will die and go to hell by their millions. By their millions. If we only knew what they were going to face at the great white throne judgment seat of God. The judgment seat of God. I just want to finish with Ezekiel's words. I have called thee to be a watchman. Each and every one of us in this meeting this morning have been called to be a watchman. Don't kid yourself. Not to fluff about and go through our Christian life and never be touched by God. Being called to be watchmen. And if our family goes to hell and our friends go to hell, their blood's in our hands. They're in our hands. And we'll give an account of it at the judgment seat of Christ. That scares me more than anything in this whole world. We need to get it into our head intellectually. We need to get it into our heart experientially. And friends, we need to go out and reach the lost practically. Practically. I don't know how to close the meeting, but God knows our heart. And I trust the Lord has spoken to us this morning because he spoke to me through this passage so many times. And I just trust that the Holy Spirit will deliver to your soul the burden that he's placed on my heart. And as he said, you'll stand in the gap. Stand in the gap. God wondered that there was no intercessor. He wondered that there was no intercessor to stand in the gap, make up the head, sound the trumpet, sound the alarm, and tell men that they're lost. We need to get it into our head intellectually, get it into our heart experientially, and go out and proclaim it practically. Let's close in prayer. Father, we realize this morning that we're so insignificant before thee. We realize this morning, Father, that as our brother prayed, we're only but dust. Lord, we realize that we cannot do these things ourselves. We need the Holy Spirit. And Father, I beseech you this morning that thou would change us, Lord. Father, I ask that you would forgive me, Lord, for neglecting this old book, Lord, not reading it, digesting it, understanding it, Lord, the way I should. Father, maybe we need to repent this morning. Father, I pray that your word would speak into our hearts. That, Father, you would move us to go out and reach the lost. Father, I just pray that, oh God, Christ is coming back soon. There's going to be a shout of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And Father, there's going to be those who will be caught out. And Father, I just pray that you would burden our hearts this morning for those that are lost. That you would help us, Lord, to do your will. You would help us, Lord, to get into your word. Stop fooling about with you, Father, and just get seriously into your word. Father, we thank you this morning for your presence. We thank you this morning that we can come. We're reminded, O God, that you said this is your day. You set it apart. You sanctified it. And even now, Father, as we would gather around the table and remember our Lord, we ask for your blessing upon that. We pray in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.